I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. The title of my lesson is Eternity, It's Your Choice. The idea for this lesson came from a little church that I go by on the way home every night from work. And they have a little sign out in front of their church building, just like we do, where they put these little inspirational messages. And one night as I was going by, I read that, and the message really struck me. This message said, Eternity. Do you prefer smoking or non-smoking? Now, my first reaction was to laugh. It seemed like a very lighthearted way of talking about eternity. But then I realized that this was a very serious subject. Each of us has the choice about where we are going to spend our eternity. We can have whichever place that we prefer. God has provided us with instructions that tell us how to make that choice. Just briefly, I'll list those. He has told us that we must hear his word, we must believe it, we must repent of our sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and then remain faithful throughout all our days. God has given us his word to show us the way. On the judgment day, we'll be judged by the things that we have done in our lives. We won't be able to lay the blame on anyone else. We'll have to answer for our own actions. We'll be judged by what we have done. And Jesus himself told us this in Matthew 16 and verse 27. He said, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. The reward that each of us will receive will be based on our own works. We need to remember that our reward will come in the hereafter. Too many people are striving to get riches in this world and get their rewards in this world. They lose sight of the things that God has commanded to them. Our rewards are going to be in the next life. Heaven will make the riches of this life seem like nothing at all. Paul also spoke about the judgment in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. He said, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There are two kinds of judgment that we can receive. If we obey God, we'll receive the judgment for the good in eternity in heaven. If we choose not to obey God, we'll receive the judgment of the bad, an eternal punishment in hell. But either way, it's our choice. We determine our eternity by the lives that we live. We choose to be good or we choose to be bad. God has given his commandments in his written word. Jesus told us that it will be the standard by which we are judged. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. We need to study God's word and understand it because we'll be judged by whether or not we obey the commands that are contained in it. There's several erroneous doctrines about eternity that I want to look at tonight. One of those is the belief that there is no resurrection. This belief is held mainly by atheists. It was also held by the Sadducees in Christ's day. Paul told us that there is a resurrection. I'm going to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or some translations say precede, shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 16 tells us there is a resurrection. Paul tells us the dead in Christ shall rise first. And also in verse 17, it tells us that this is going to be for eternity, because it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. If we choose to go to heaven, then we will be raised from the dead to spend an eternity there with God. Paul also tells of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Then dropping down to verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If our entire future were just those few years that we have left here on this earth, we wouldn't really have very much to look forward to. But Christ has been raised from the dead, and we will also be raised from the dead. And we can look forward to a life in heaven for all of eternity, but only if we choose to do that. Another error is that some people don't believe that hell exists. They say that God is a loving God, and how could a loving God ever cause someone to go to a place like that? But the Bible does tell us there is a place like that, and God is a just God, and justice demands that man be punished for his sins. Jesus described hell in Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 43. Mark 9, 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, into fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a real place. If you've ever been burned, then you can imagine what a terrible, awful place this must be. Jesus describes it as a fire that never burns out. He also described hell in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. He says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a place that destroys both body and soul, and yet the punishment never stops. We can also go there if we choose to do so. Another false doctrine that we hear is predestination. The Bible does have some passages that talk about predestination that are rather difficult to understand and easily misunderstood, like Ephesians chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8. We don't have enough time to read those tonight, but people have read these passages and come away with the idea that only certain people can go to heaven. They've been picked ahead of time to go to heaven. There's a similar idea in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. There it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who was Paul writing to? He was writing to Christians at the church of Thessalonica. How were these Christians chosen? It said through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. They had to believe in order to be saved. And how were they called to be saved? They were called by the gospel. Anyone who responds to the gospel message can be saved. What we have is a class of people who've been predestined to go to heaven. And that class includes all faithful Christians. And anyone who chooses to do so can become a faithful Christian. To say that these scriptures are talking about an individual person whose fate was determined without him having any part in that would make these scriptures contradict other scriptures. If you would look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God does not want any man to perish. He wants all men, just not a few men, all men to be saved. In order to be saved, we must come to repentance. This is one of the steps that we must choose to do if we'll be saved. Also look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Again, we can see that God wants all men to be saved, but we must have knowledge. We must hear his word and believe it in order to be saved. And another passage with this same idea is Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus 2, starting verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So it tells us that this grace is for all men, that all men have the opportunity to be saved. We can see that we are saved by the grace of God. We can't do this on our own. We need God's grace to do it. But it's conditional. There are conditions that we must fulfill in order to be saved, and God has specified those conditions. And one more proof that there is no idea of predestination is that Paul didn't believe in it. If you look in Romans chapter 11, there Paul was writing to the Gentiles about the Jews. Romans 11, and in verse 11, he says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy." And then down in verse 14, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Paul knew that the Jews were not saved, but he wished that at least some of them could emulate him, and by doing that, they would be saved. By obeying God's commands, they could change from a state of not being saved to a state of being saved. And they had the opportunity to choose which of those states they wanted to be in. Although it's dangerous to apply human reasoning to spiritual matters, the idea of predestination really doesn't make any sense. In fact, the whole Bible wouldn't make any sense if predestination were true. Why should anyone repent if they've already been predestined to go to hell? And why would they obey the commands of God if they've already been predestined to go to heaven? So the commands of God wouldn't make any sense if they didn't have any effect on where we would spend our eternity. The doctrine of predestination is a false doctrine. Another common erroneous belief is once saved, always saved. Many denominations believe that once you make that right choice, then your eternity is sealed right at that time. But there are many passages of Scripture that warn us that we can fall. We can fall from grace and lose our salvation. First of all, we must remain faithful because the Lord told us to do that. In Matthew 24 and verse 13, it says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Perhaps the clearest example of how once saved, always saved is a false doctrine is shown by Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. Simon had believed, he'd been baptized, but then he wished to buy the power that he saw where the apostles could pass on the gifts. And his motives for wanting to do this were not good. And so Peter told him what he needed to do. In Acts chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Simon had obeyed the gospel, so he was in a saved condition. But then he sinned and was no longer in the state of being saved. Peter told him that he needed to repent of his sin and pray to God for forgiveness. Once he did that, he would be back in the right relationship with God. Paul also warned us that he himself had to be careful about remaining faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, he said, "But I keep under," or other translations say, "I buffet my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul knew that even as one of God's chosen messengers, there was the possibility that he could sin and separate himself from God. And Paul did not want to be a castaway. In the next chapter, he gives us a general warning. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We can fall. We need to be careful. Once we get into the proper relationship with God, we need to make sure that we stay that way. Peter also warned us to be faithful. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, it says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." We see by this verse that staying in a proper relationship with God is conditional. If we do these things, then we shall never fall. If we don't remain faithful, then we will lose our salvation. And in the next chapter, 2 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21, there it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Clearly, if sinning puts you into a state that is worse than before you were saved, that once saved, always saved, is a false doctrine. We've looked at the choice that each of us must make. We've looked at some of the false doctrines about eternity. Now it's time to look at ourselves. If the Lord came back right now, there wouldn't be any time to change your mind. Could you look at him and say, "I've chosen to go to heaven"? Or would you have to say to him, "Sorry, Lord, I made the wrong choice"? Some people may believe that they'll have enough time to change their mind, like Felix, who was waiting for a more convenient season. But we don't know if Felix ever found that more convenient season. And we don't know if any of us will even see tomorrow. We've already chosen where we're going to spend our eternity. If you've made the wrong choice, there's still time to change it. We must choose for ourselves what we will do. In his last speech to the people of Israel, Joshua told the people to put away their false gods and to be faithful to the true God. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua knew what the right choice was, and he tried to get the Israelites to see it as well. Have you made the right choice? Have you chosen heaven as your destination for eternity? God has told us what we must do to be saved. We must hear his word. We must believe it. We must repent of our sins. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. If you'll do that tonight, you may enter into his kingdom, and you'll have chosen to spend your eternity in heaven. If you've become a child of God and have fallen away, God is willing to forgive you. All you need to do is repent of your sin and ask God to forgive you. You can change your choice and say, "I want to go to heaven." If we can help you in any way, let us know as we stand and we sing.